Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Bev, it seems like it's been forever since we've done this Meet the People of MCB.
It has been forever. It's time that we get back on the job here, and we've got people to meet and people to interview, so I love it. I am so excited about our interview today.
I am too. I know you know this character. Oh, I'm sorry. This individual. Now, I'm really looking forward to the interview as well. We're going to have some fun. We always do. And I just enjoy doing these interviews, learning so much about the people that we interview. And today will be no exception. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce our guest here today, Nancy Ficken. Nancy, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you very much.
Nancy, we're going to start off talking about your vision and what was the result or cause of your loss of vision. Now, you are visually impaired?
Yes.
And what was the cause or result of your vision loss?
I'm now diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. I call it RP. But that diagnosis did not come maybe till I was a junior, between my junior year and senior year of high school. And it was misdiagnosed.
Okay, all right. Now, do you have any residual vision at all?
At this point, I have light vision only in my right eye, but I see nothing, no shapes, nothing. I can tell in the morning when the sun comes up. And just so we know, I was going to say I was perfectly, quote, normal with normal vision, and I worked for an ophthalmologist in city I grew up in, outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. And he said when I gave the eye test to patients, he would say to the patient, now, if you see spots, I may recommend that you see an ophthalmologist instead of an optometrist. And so when I was giving these tests during the summer, I said to him, hey, I see spots. And he said, well, we're sending you to an ophthalmologist. And I saw a Dr. Nance in the Crew Tower in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I believe he said I had uveitis, the leading cause of blindness in third world countries, usually due and related to tuberculosis. But I had non-tuberculosis uveitis, and that stayed that way. Moved to Westerville, Ohio, then to Rochester, Michigan, and then to the northwest suburbs of Chicago, Illinois, and then to Lake St. Louis, Missouri. And it's when I saw an ophthalmologist in St. Charles, Missouri, Dr. Perlmutter, that he said, time to have your cataracts removed. And all of the doctors, eye doctors, said, before you have your cataract removed, get a second opinion, because yours are slow growing. So from 1955 till 1981, I just believed that I had uveitis. But when I went to get a second opinion from Dr. Drew's office, he suggested I see a retina ophthalmologist. And that was Dr. Glazier. They were both in Clayton at the time. And it was then that they decided that, yes, I did have RP.
Okay.
So from then, 1981 to now, I was sighted, but I quit driving in 74, in August of 74, when we moved to Michigan. I voluntarily gave up driving. So for the eye disease, for people that have RP, it's a mystery to me who gets it and when and why.
So when you say you seen spots, was that like those floaters, black floaters that was just floating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. That makes sense. Okay, all right. So how was it for you, Nancy? Because it sounded like from an early age, you began to experience your vision loss. How was that for you, adjusting to your vision loss?
I didn't really think I had a vision loss. And so after that, I did graduate from high school. That was no big deal for me because I went to a one-room Lutheran Missouri Synod grade school in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio. They didn't have high schools, and from there I went to a college prep public high school, and they had three different floors, and they had these big Corinthian columns on the outside of the building, and after being in one-room grade school, it took me forever to find my way around this school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I mean, you know, I went through school and didn't know I had a problem until that junior, you know, even that summer, I just figured I would see spots and that would be it. So after that, when I went to school, everybody likes their alma mater. I went to Miami of Ohio for college and I thought it was wonderful. And you always say the best is yet to come. That's how I felt about college. And I have to tell you, I think I was born in the right age because I was born in 1938. And it just was a great time to be a teenager, a great time to be a college student, a great time to be, to get married in the early 60s. I mean, it was just, the world was doing great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into talking about your education here in just a moment, but Nancy, share with us a little bit about your family, your immediate family. Are you married? Do you have kids, grandkids, brothers, sisters?
I wish I was one of these exciting people you interview on Meet the People of MCB. Mine is, I was married, had one husband, one son, one daughter. You know, you laugh about things, but God is good because both children were born healthy. Everything was just great. And in this day and age, I am just amazed that any of us are born completely healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you see all the different things going on. And so my husband and I both grew up in Cincinnati in the suburbs. He was from Wyoming, Ohio, not Wyoming the state, but Wyoming, Ohio. And he went to, it was a small school. I think there were only 55 in his graduating class. I think there were 300 in my graduating class. And my son and daughter, they were moved around. And sometimes that's a plus and sometimes it's a minus. So we were all born in Cincinnati, Ohio. Three of us in Christ Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. My husband went to Miami of Ohio, graduated from Miami of Ohio. My son and daughter started school in Ohio. Well, my son started school in Ohio. My daughter started school in Rochester, Michigan. And son and daughter both have graduated from the Wentzville High School and from college here in Ohio. And I have one great grandchild, a great grandson, who on the 1st of March will be 2 years old. Isn't that amazing? And of course, he's perfect.
Yes, I love it.
Instead of talking about his mom and dad, you know, I talk about him. But anyhow, and they all live in St. Charles County. So I'm very blessed that way.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Oh yeah. So what was your husband's major when he went to college?
Business, and he was always with a food company in Ohio, and you're always with a food company. He was but as I say, he died in 1983.
Okay.
So we had lived here 2 years in Lake St. Louis when he died.
Is that where you and your husband, Jim, is that where you guys met? Was when you were going to college?
No, but wouldn't that have been nice? He would have been a senior when I was a freshman. Wouldn't that have been nice? It was Delta Tau Delta and the right fraternity. Nancy was never in a sorority, never went through Rush in high school or in college. And but we met. I was teaching first grade, and he was just out of the Marine Corps. And his friend, who had been in the Navy, and he married his friend from high school, and she was teaching, and her student teacher and I had gone to school at Miami, and it was a blind date. I hated to use that word since we're all blind. It was a blind date.
I love it.
So, what was your major when you went to college?
Education.
That's what I thought. Yeah, so
And I
and
wanted to be a, you know, I wanted to be a high school teacher. I went, and they said, no, you should be a grade school teacher. So I am so pleased because I only taught children in the first grade. And as I say, that was back in the day when you went to kindergarten for kindergarten a half day. And then when you came to first grade, you learned how to read and write. Now
yeah.
it's very different, right? We send them to preschool and teach them all that. But we should send them all back to kindergarten so they learn how to get along with each other. Only
Yeah.
one can talk at a time, right?
Well, I gotta tell you, Nancy, school isn't at all like what it was when you were growing up or when you were teaching. When we were going, kids going to school, things are so different these days. It's amazing how things are so different.
Do you have children, Chip?
Yes, I've got three boys, and I've got, see, I had to count them. I got to count them. See, I got three, four, five. I've got six grandkids. I always have to stop and count
Ask your wife the birth date on all
Yeah.
of them.
So you remember what school was like when you were in school,
Oh
and then when your
yes. Oh
children were
yes.
in school, and now with your
Yep.
grandchildren.
Yeah. 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 That's right. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I know Bev got some really great questions for you. So Bev, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Oh, thank you. You know, I am so excited here to interview Nancy, and I'm so glad she agreed to it because I've met Nancy long time ago in Lake St. Louis when I used to take a walk in our neighborhood. We lived fairly close to each other, and when I started to lose my sight, let's see, that was in 89. Yeah, in 89, because my oldest daughter was 10 years old, and Nancy was such a big help to me. You know, we had a mutual friend that got us together, and I would walk down and visit with Nancy, and she was such a big help, like I said. So, yes, Nancy, how was it for your kids and your husband accepting your vision loss? My kids were 3, 6, and 10, so I really didn't have time to sit around and have a pity party. And my middle daughter and I were learning to read at the same time. I was learning to read Braille, and she was learning to read print, you know, in kindergarten, you know. But how was it for you with your family adjusting to all this?
That's an interesting question, Beverly, because I don't know that I ever addressed being blind with my family. Because in 74, when we left Ohio and moved to Rochester, The only difference for them was that I wasn't driving. And
yeah.
I learned to walk everywhere. So I could walk from where we lived in Rochester, Michigan, to the city of Rochester, Michigan, and would see the leader dog school trainers with the dogs and finding an interest in the leader dog school, but never thinking I would go blind. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just had to give up driving. And I was mad because I didn't drive. But I gave it up voluntarily because when I was five, I have an older sister who's 2 years older and a younger brother who was born in 42 in October. So when our mother was killed, one sister turned seven in June, mother died in July, I turned five in August, and that October baby brother would be a year old. And I just remembered I didn't want to ever have an accident and be responsible for somebody being left without a mom.
Yes.
And so I learned to walk everywhere, and I walked because I was mad because I didn't drive. But I always made sure that my children had rides for everything, and my husband always did the same also for all three of us. So I don't know that I ever addressed really how my kids felt, and that would be interesting to see, because I always made sure they had rides for any activity, whether it was scouts, whether it was, you know, for school, for my daughter, for dance, or whether it was for my son, for baseball. And it stayed pretty much that same way through the move to the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And we saw eye doctors at the Ford Hospital in Detroit and at Northwest University. And they all said, you know, it was uveitis till we moved here. And then, by then, my husband died after 2 years when we were here. And my son had received his driver's license. He taught his sister how to drive. And so they were the transportation people. Imagine being a substitute teacher and having your kids drive you to school.
I tell you what, Nancy, I didn't mind at all riding with my kids in the car when they were learning to ride. I said, if I feel a bump, then we will talk about that, you know. But what made me really nervous is riding in the boat with them when they're driving. Now that scared me.
Oh my gosh. That sounds so interesting to be in the boat with them.
Yes.
My kids told me when they were driving, Mom, quit pushing your right foot because you have no pedals on your side of the car.
Yes. I get it. I did that same thing.
And there was one time in Cincinnati when my daughter was driving, and she just got her license. And of course, she's in a different state driving and everything. And I said something to her in rather a sharp tone. And my dad said, leave her alone. She's doing just fine. And this is the same dad that told me, you're never going driving again. So I think there's something about being a grandparent talking with their grandchild. You know, it's different. Even that's different today, you know. When my kids were in Wentzville school system, they took driver's ed, and they had a driver's ed teacher, right?
Yes.
Do they
yes.
do that anymore?
Well, I know the driver's ed teacher, you know, Bill Schoonover, and his dad and mom I ride to church with. So I trust him.
Well, right, know, but... and that's why I say, I just remember there was that an intersection where Rue Grande turns into Savoy.
Yes.
And it's you're coming in from a curve, and you're going to go uphill. If you were coming down, you were coming down. And there was always, what's that stuff in the intersection that you can skid on in dry weather, not even rainy weather? And you could tell when they were coming down how they stopped, or they were gonna to go up. And I would always think if they were driving a shift car, I always prayed for the driver's ed teacher because he must have a lot of patience, as you'd see the car jumping around up and down the street.
Yes.
But anyhow, the I just think with Bev, what I remember about Bev, she lived on an intersection where you had like a no outlet street, and it divided
cul-de-sac.
And so when she would walk past my house with her husband, my husband was deceased at the time, and probably if I met Bev, it would have been, first of all, I would have met her through subbing from, say, 83 to 87 through one of your children.
Mm-hmm.
You had beautiful children, if I remember correctly. Everyone had beautiful hair, big eyes.
And, yeah, they're pretty. I have to agree. They're pretty special girls.
and you're right. When I knew them, they were three little toddlers, three very young. And so I just think it's interesting that the grass always looks greener. And I'm a child of God. And I would see Bev and her husband walking hand in hand. And I was, you're not supposed to be this when you're a child of God, but I was, I don't know if you say it was envious, jealous, or I wished that my husband were alive and I could have someone to lean on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so be careful, because the grass isn't always greener when you think that.
Yeah, you've been such a dear, dear friend, Nancy, and I have treasured your friendship. And I hope this interview, we still are friends.
Well, and you know what? I was going to say, it's so interesting, because when I hear the two of you talking and you interview the people, all the things that they've accomplished, et cetera, and I think, hey, I haven't done any of those things. And you and Chip, you like meetings, and I avoid meetings. I like meetings if there's an agenda and they stick to it, and everybody contributes and everybody is acknowledged and no one feels left out or put down. And so I'm amazed that I think I first heard Chip's voice when you were with Denny. What was the religious music program? Maybe it wasn't religious music. Maybe it was...
Are you talking about the Gospel Jubilee that Denny and I do?
Gospel Jubilee,
yes. Yep.
And I remember... Denny and Chip on that, and they did such a great job of that. But I always remembered in that interview, because I knew Denny before I knew Chip. I mean, have I ever met you, Chip?
Not in person. But you've corresponded with me, emails and stuff like that, and I always appreciate getting emails from you.
Well, not everybody does, but I was going to say, it was interesting because Denny is like I am. Denny has a gift of gab, and I really appreciate his gift of gab. And I always felt like it was interesting. He'd say, "Now, Chip, do you have something to say?" And so that's how I remember Chip. And then I remember Chip from the Missouri Council for the Blind. However, I need to say this before I forget this, and that is, Beverly, as a person, just as a person, not as a sighted person or a blind person, she has such a joyous sound to her voice.
Oh, she does. I agree. Yes.
She makes me happy.
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
just makes me happy.
Yes. No.
She's got
I don't.
A beautiful voice.
Well, I appreciate it. But, you know, Bev is the type of person you love to be around, because she knows, just being around her, she lifts your spirits.
Amen.
Oh.
And
thank you.
I think that is great. And I feel that when you and Chip are doing the interview, it comes across that way. And so I've just been thinking, how come Chip and Denny and Beverly enjoy meetings? Now, I don't know what Denny's all involved in. I know that I worked for I went to the Society for the Blind because my eye doctor said, you need to check with the Society for the Blind and come out and have them come out to your house. And they did. And then Edna Freeman came out to my house. And that is what the two things that I feel like got me started with knowing that you're blind, Nancy, and there's assistance for people that are blind. And now my husband's dead, died in 83. I subbed for 84, 85, 86, 87. And it was in June of 87 that I thought, I either need to go back to school for a master's degree. They offer something now. They never offered when I was in college. And you could get your master's degree, and then you can be in counseling for grade school children. They never offered that when I was in school. As a matter of fact, when I taught school for the first 4 years, I had 38 first graders.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. You did their gym, you did their music, you did the playground, you did lunchroom. You were with them all day long. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. You didn't even think of anything about it until we moved where we had moved on the other side of the town. So I interviewed over there. And then I only had 25 children. And I found out teaching 25 is a lot easier than teaching 30. But all children are the same. All children are the same. And children are like adults. We all want to be loved. We all want to be respected. And that's what I liked about the St. Charles County Council for the Blind. What I like about the Missouri Council for the Blind is that you're an organization that's there to assist those that are either legally blind or have vision impairments. I just thought the two organizations, all right, this is something I need to get involved in. I didn't include my husband's already deceased. My kids were in college. So I wanted to get a job, and I went back to work. And so I didn't go to St. Charles County Council for the Blind meetings because when I got home, I was too tired. That's my excuse. I'm too tired, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked the whole time I was legally blind. And I will say, I thank you, God, that you do have a government that employs people for the same job. You can be completely sighted, and I can be completely blind, and we still can do the same job and get the same pay for the government job. And that's the only reason I worked for the Department of the Treasury, because when I went to the School for the Blind, they offered courses for it. And if you pass the course successfully, then you could be hired by the Department of the Treasury.
How long did you have that job?
I called it the Department of the Treasury. Not quite 14 years. And
oh, okay.
The reason I wanted to work till I was 70, mm-hmm. but when I was 60 in the summer, right before my birthday, they said I had multiple sclerosis. Who ever heard of anybody being diagnosed with MS when they're 60?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
And after 3 years, it just made me so tired. And they offered to have me work, you know, just half days. But if you live out in Lake St. Louis, it's tough finding a ride for half a day,
mm-hmm.
let alone
yeah.
a whole day. But again, God is good. And this is why, notice I said God, am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Good. Because I see where God had his plans in mind for me before I was born. And after I was born, because in 1939, guess what started the Leader Dog School for the Blind in Rochester, Michigan? And I thought, little did I know anything about the Leader Dog School for the Blind. And I think the same way with the St. Charles County Council for the Blind and the Missouri Council for the Blind. They were started, I didn't know anything about them, but they were there for me. After I was, you know, diagnosed with the blindness. So skipping around here, when you go blind the way I did, you don't know you're going blind because you don't know you have RP. And then I used a collapsible cane. Do you remember the collapsible cane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when you would extend them, if you leaned on them or you got them caught in the car door, they broke, right?
Yeah.
And you were up a creek without a paddle.
Yep,
right. And then I went to, I believe you call it a walking stick, and I call it red, white, you know, and it collapsible one. You collapse it and put it, the cord around it and put it in your purse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at my church, if you didn't see me a lot, you don't remember that I went from using a cane that collapsed to a walking stick and then to a cane for a support cane because, it wasn't a sudden thing. It was just over the years. And so I look at the Missouri Council for the Blind and the St. Charles County Council for the Blind and the Society for the Blind. But I'm going to stick with the St. Charles County Council for the Blind and the Missouri Council for the Blind. Their mission statement means it all to me, and they're there, especially the Missouri Council for the Blind. They say they're there for the individual's well-being. And the St. Charles County Council for the Blind says that they're there to help you with your education and be a support. And I'm thinking, there's nothing better to be in an organization that you all have some skin in the game. Do you know what I mean? You all have a vision problem. And that's why I say when I was at the School for the Blind in Little Rock, Arkansas, it was called Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind. And now it's Lions World Services for the Blind. You know that the Rochester Leader Dog School was started by some individuals who were members of the Detroit Lions Club?
No, I didn't know that. Yeah.
All this, you see, we're all, you know, I think it's a big surprise, but I can see where God was working in my life before I ever was aware of anything. And so I always wanted a dog, but I thought when I retire from the Department of the Treasury, get a dog. But then when I realized I walk 3, 5, 10 miles a day, and it was wonderful to live in Lake St. Louis, Missouri, because it's a walking community. Mm-hmm. However, after the MS, then it was, you can walk a mile out and a mile back. Then it was walk a half a mile back so you have enough energy to walk the half a mile home. And then it was just be thankful you can walk and that you're not a wheelchair or you're bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the organizations, even though I don't like to belong to organizations, I looked at the St. Charles County Council for the Blind because we were all pulling for each other at the meetings, and your car would pick you up. And I didn't like the idea that you got picked up maybe an hour early before the meeting started and vice versa going home. But you got to know the people, and you got mm-hmm. to know their dogs. And so I look at it now, and I'm thankful for the organizations and the people that put in the time and the effort to serve on all these committees, which I have never done and don't want to do. And I never went to camp like Bever does. And I just think, you know I missed something, but at the time, I felt my children were in college, then they graduated. We were all doing our thing. And I don't say I didn't include them in on the blind thing, but I never thought of myself as a blind person. Is that terrible to say?
No, it's not terrible at all. You know, and that's, I want people to look at me as a person, not mm-hmm. a blind person, you know.
Right. And I just think, what I have found out, when I feel more secure with who I am, then the people around me feel more relaxed also.
Yep.
And so I think that being blind, when I went to school at Miami of Ohio, there's a young man that graduated, and when he worked in the city of Cincinnati upon graduation, his friends in the carpool, they thought he was so great in his mobility, they'd drop him off at a different intersection in downtown Cincinnati. And he could always find his way where he was supposed to be. But that was because they treated him like he wasn't blind, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't do it maliciously or anything. They just thought, okay, that's he thinks he's so great. Let's see. And he'd show up where he was supposed to.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I think that's one thing that I, with the St. Charles County Council of the Blind, that I felt when you went to a meeting, you were all there for the same reason. You were to lift each other up, and mm-hmm. you were to have each other's back, et cetera. And I look up the mission for the St. Charles County Council for the Blind and the Missouri Council for the Blind. And I think when I was at the School for the Blind in Little Rock, Arkansas, the pastor one day at church where I went while I was there for 6 months, he said that, you know, church is like an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, because when you're there, he said that's the true idea of community, because they all start off with, hi, my name is Sue, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, my name is Sissy, I'm an alcoholic. And that's what I thought was great about the St. Charles County Council for the Blind, because you either blind or you were visually impaired. And for a long time, I was visually impaired before I went blind.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there's a big difference. But mostly what I like is that we're there for each other, and you can come from all different walks of life. You can come from all different kinds of education. But true love mm-hmm. and true respect for someone is that you care about them as much as you care about yourself. And so when you see someone like with Bev, heck, I thought Bev did more with her vision impairment, because she became active in all these organizations. And look at Bev, how many people you have served just through the St. Charles County Council for the Blind, not even the Missouri Council for the Blind, or the Lions Club, or your church.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, not just those organs, but, you know, I get involved with the Garden Club, you know, and pontoon, different organizations right here in Lake St. Louis in my area. Mm-hmm. There's somebody I'm going to meet that I can touch their lives, mm-hmm. you know, and that they may need some help. Yeah, a friend of mine in the Ambassadors, you know, his wife has got macular degeneration, and they've called me for different assistance and what can we do with, you know, different things. And that's my purpose. You know, I think God's got a plan for me too. And it's to be able to reach out to others. You know, we did a table at the Working Women's Survival Show over the weekend, with the fundraising and PR over the weekend. And oh my gosh, just being able to reach out, and somebody would always know somebody else that could use our assistance. In fact, I've got somebody going to email me here soon that I can give them resources. And that just feels so good to be able to do that.
Yeah,
so I understand.
I hear you do that, and Chip, when I hear you talk about how you became active in the different organizations, let's just take Missouri Council for the Blind. How long have you been a member of the Missouri Council for the Blind, Chip?
Since 1990.
Now, how many different roles have you played since 19?
Oh, gosh.
He changes his hat a lot.
I've just about every, well, I've been president, vice president. I've not been secretary or treasurer, but, and then just been so many other things, you know, within the organization, PR, public relations director. So done a lot of different things over the years.
Now I'm curious. I want to ask you, have you ever been to Washington, D.C. for the Missouri Council?
I have. I've gone about a dozen times. I served Education Advocacy Committee Chair for about 10, 11 years. In fact, I'm going again this year. So this will probably, I don't know, I've gone probably about 12, 13, 14 different times.
Well, all of those things serve, and going to all of those, they open different doors for you. But what I think is great is you've shared it with others. You haven't just gone for your sake and for the glory. And you brought back information and stayed with it and shared with others. And see, I'm not that kind of person. I belong to the St. Charles County Council for the Blind. I don't run for anything. And that's not good, but I expect everybody else to be doing something. And that's why I think it's great when people serve on committees. Mostly, I'm a teacher, and that's what I think. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a prayer warrior, but I don't see me as a joiner for committee meetings because I don't know how you sit still that long, and I don't know how you listen. I promised myself I would read James 1:19 and then live it, and I haven't. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And see, I'm just talking away.
I love it, though. Yeah. But good for you for reciting that. Thank you so much, you know, Nancy. And I used to tell my girls, too, the wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird?
Can you email that to me, Bev? I need to share that with my friends. I need to share that with my friends. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Where did you get that? Who wrote that? Did you pick it up?
I think it was one of those things when I was probably a teenager that I read one time, and I loved it. You know, there's so many quotes that are out there that just have an impact on us, too. Good friends are like diamonds, precious but rare. False friends are like autumn leaves found everywhere. You know, that one hit me, too, you know, when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. And then I think to myself, really, I can be nice, but really see me when I'm tired, out of sorts. And you know the word halt is a blind person?
H-A-L-T.
I always think hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Oh.
If I'm one of those things, if I'm just hungry, and you cross my path and say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, I'm still pretty nice. If I'm hungry and angry, that's 2 out of 4. You're pushing your luck. You have it. And if you meet me late in the day, I'm hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, then I react. I don't act. Do you hear me? Do you know the difference between taking an action and reacting?
Yep.
And so I always think, halt, because just keep your mouth closed and listen. Give somebody else a chance.
Let someone feed you.
It's just, as I say, I think that we are who we say we are, and I'm one of 7 children, so I've always been a middle child. When I started off as one of 3, my sister was the oldest, and she was smart and good at everything. My brother, being the baby and being a boy, the only boy, he could do no wrong, probably. And I was a middle child, and when you get to the end, you're going to ask me, what's the one thing you don't want people to know about you? Well, my parents had to take me to a doctor when I was 2 because I still didn't talk. And when the doctor said she doesn't talk because her older sister knows exactly what she wants, so she doesn't need to do any asking or doing anything. And he said, so when she talks, give her a lollipop every time she talks. So that's why I eat too much and I like dessert, right? Because they encourage me. If she talks, she gets a lollipop.
Oh, wow. We can go back and relate to our childhood for just about anything.
Well, and that's why I say that when my dad remarried maybe 4 years later, I was 1 of 7, but I was still a middle child, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't use the word step or anything. We're just brothers and sisters. And we're tough together, but we can kill each other. Do you hear me? But you as an outsider don't pick on one of the seven because you have the other six to answer to. But we can be mean to each other, but you on the outside world, you can't be mean to us.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Chip,
I think
where are we?
Where are you?
We just have a few more minutes. But I got one last question, then I'm going to turn it back to Bev. But we had just a few short minutes remaining. So Nancy, growing up and living in Cincinnati as long as you did you ever or your family, Jim, anybody become Cincinnati sports fan? Whether it be baseball, football, whatever.
Well, if you grow up in Cincinnati, Ohio, you are a Cincinnati Reds fan. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up, I know I'm older than you and Beverly. I know, Chip, that I'm older than you. I know I'm older than Beverly. But in Cincinnati, when I was growing up, when I was young, you could walk through the neighborhood in the fall and the leaves were falling. People could still burn in the gutters. Little piles of leaves, you'd see a little smoke signal going up.
Yeah.
And everybody's window was open so you could hear the radio. And Wade Hoyt was the play-by-play announcer for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
They advertised Burger Beer, Wiedemann Beer, Utebol Beer. And so I just grew up thinking Cincinnati's pretty much German. And they have, they have great schools, the University of Cincinnati. They have Xavier University. They have Hebrew Union College. And so it was a diversified, there were lots of different faiths represented, but it seemed like they all got along. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They
respect.
Yes, they had great respect for one another. And I went to a college prep high school, but every school district there had their own college prep program, but they made one school that no matter where you lived, you could go to that school. And when I was in high school, I never read the book, Is There Life After High School? I should have, because when I went to high school, I was, I wasn't in any singing group. I wasn't in any speech group, any athletic group. I didn't do anything. I went to school on the public transportation, which was a streetcar. And when it got to the end of the route, you walked the half mile home. And I went either to a babysitting job or something or other. And then as soon as I could get a work permit, I worked. I think I got one at 15. And I worked locally in the different stores in the community. And then I worked for the optometrist. When I went away to college, I had a job that was the best job that someone helped me get, because I couldn't do anything. So I worked for Conn, the Wiener, the World Away. They made bratwurst and Conn's, and they're right down there in the where they kill the animals and et cetera. So I went to work there for the summer before I went away to college and the first summer after I went home. And then I worked for Perkins Pancake House. Do you remember Perkins Pancake House?
Yes, yes.
It was started there in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Huh.
So I just look back and I think I've had a lot of part-time jobs. I've cleaned houses. I've been a babysitter. I've sold shoes. I've worked for department stores in Cincy. And I just figure when I look back at everything, God was preparing me so that I had a wonderful, perfect life growing up. And then and it was fine till the eye disease took over, et cetera. And so I look at it and I think, you have to believe in something. And so I believe in the St. Charles County Council for the Blind. I believe in the Missouri Council for the Blind. But most of all, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And if I didn't know him, I'd want to quit on a regular basis. Do you hear me?
Yep. Yep, I do.
And so I figure it's good to know what you believe in and who you believe in. And I would hope that I could be a Chip, or I hope I could be Beverly, in the fact that you care about others and you reach out about others and you're willing to serve on committees. And I think that's wonderful. More power to you. I tried to just be someone that I'll go to the meeting, but I'm watching the clock to see that you didn't go over your time. And I'm also watching to see, did you treat everybody just as nice? Did you talk to the shy person? And did you nicely tell the person who talks too much, you know, let's hear what so-and-so has to say, and that you make me feel included without making me feel put down. And that's an art. Not everybody has that ability. And I think because as a classroom teacher, you don't want to repeat what the children say. You want them to listen to what the other children say, and you want everybody to be included in. And I guess that's what I like mm-hmm. about the St. Charles County Council for the Blind and the Missouri Council for the Blind, because they're encouraging others and they're reaching out for you to be a part of it. So my hats are off to you and Chip. Beverly, I think you and Chip do a great job on this. I'm so sorry that I didn't serve. And do you know all the other people on here have been on all these committees, and look at all they have achieved and what they have gotten through the Jefferson City or something or other. That's why I asked Jeff, have you ever gone to D.C. and ever gotten anything through there? Because that is a big thing to do, to go to D.C. and talk with the people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I think the one that we interviewed that wasn't on a bunch of committees, but boy, hats off to him, was Santa Claus.
And doesn't everybody love Santa Claus?
That was great.
Yes, it was. It sure was. Well, Nancy, I'm sorry, but we are just completely out of time. I'd just love to be able to sit here. Probably what we can do after we've ended the recording, you, Bev, and I can just sit here and continue visiting, because it's just been so wonderful just sitting here visiting with you, listening to you. And Bev and I, we just want to thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
I knew she would be great.
Thank you very much.
And are
we
still friends, Nancy?
Yes, we are.
I love you.
I love you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know, you might hear yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your week, everybody, and we'll see you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.
Goodbye.